Now, there have been other convoys that have tried to get into Gaza, and of course the flotilla, the deadly situation that happened back in May. Do you think that, for example, your group being able to get into Gaza makes a difference in the long run?
I think it does make a difference because it unites a kind of the different strands of the global movement for Gaza. I think it's a new internationalist movement that is emerging. And it began with people from Europe. It's beginning with people from Africa. There's a strong boycott movement of Israeli goods that has been initiated by South Africans. And so there is a convergence of the international movement on Gaza. And we believe that as Asian participants, we are also contributing to that process.
Now, let's go back to May when this deadly attack took place on the flotilla. And of course, caused the death of 9 Turkish activists and many others who were injured. Were you surprised at what happened afterwards? Because basically, we didn't see a big international outcry from governments. There were some who condemned it verbally, but mostly the condemnation came from people from around the world. Were you surprised at the reaction?
Not really, because if people who have been keeping a track of, or people who are knowledgeable about the Palestinian cause, also know that how governments have failed in giving Palestinian the right to their land, you know, and that's been one of the major. So we were not surprised when the governments failed to really condemn this incident in the nature that it should be done. Diplomatic processes have its own limitation. And I think it's the people's movement which is actually rising. In fact, that's a significant part of today's pro-Palestinian movement, that it is a people's movement.
Okay. Well, let me get our other guests in on this discussion. Let me turn first to Gaza itself, where we have human rights activist Ken O'Keefe standing by. Ken, thanks so much for being with us. Ken, I want to look at Gaza itself. You are sitting there in Gaza. Do you think that the majority of people in the world, especially in Western countries, have a true grasp of what it is like to live on a day-to-day base in Gaza? And I'd like you to touch on that a little bit. What is life like there for the average Gazan?
Well, no, I don't think that most of the people do understand fully what the situation is like here in Gaza. But also, I think we don't need to put too much emphasis on that. It's the people of us of conscience, those of us who do know, we're the ones that matter. And there's already more than enough of us to end this blockade, to break it once and for all. And I'm very inspired by what I see from my brother from the Asian continent, Ashim. What you're doing, bringing people from that part of the world, is extremely powerful. And together, I have no doubt at all, we're going to break this blockade. I believe we're going to do it in 2011.
Now, Ken, you were involved before in attempts, and you also broke the siege of Gaza. Can you talk a little bit about that and that experience?
Well, it is an absolute reality that there are many, many obstacles in your way simply when you want to help the people of Gaza. As an example, we weren't able to go by land through Egypt into Gaza. You're only allowed to go by sea. If you were a tourist and you wanted to drive into Egypt from Libya, you would not have a problem. But if you're on a humanitarian aid convoy, all of a sudden you have to get a ship, you have to fly people, the costs go up, the obstacles increase. This is not the way it should be. Everybody should be helping, facilitating the ability of those of us to help the people in Gaza. Instead, we find obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And in our case, we even had to deal with a kidnapping in which we were taken against our will from Libya to Greece. So there are a number of different things people face simply for trying to help the people in Gaza.
Okay, let me turn to London. Welcome our next guest, member of Viva Palestina, Gazan activist, Laura Stewart. Thank you so much for being with us. Laura, can you tell me, because you were also involved, I believe, in trying to break the siege in Gaza. Can you tell me about your experiences?
My experience actually started after the massacre that they call Operation Castled. I felt that any human with a conscience has to try to take some action, that our government is not going to take any action to change anything, so it's up to the people. And I felt that even if I can just go there and show my brothers and sisters in Gaza that there are people in the world who didn't forget them and who stand beside them in solidarity, then I'm doing something good. And I went there in March 2009, which was only a few weeks after Operation Cast Lead. And the people were still in a terrible state of shock. And they said to us, where was the world? Where were the people? Where were the Muslims? Where were the Arabs? Everybody sat and watched this on their TV and they turned their backs on us. So it's very important to show the people there that we do stand with them in solidarity. The people of conscience, we don't support our government's lack of action.
Laura, you mentioned that after going into Gaza, after Operation Cast Lead, basically they were asking you, where were the people? Do you think that there's a different scenario right now in the world, 2010? Do you think that the people's movement is gathering steam as far as trying to help the people of the Gaza Strip?
I do feel that, absolutely. The first convoy that I went on was British passport holders only. And then less than a year later, we went again and we had people from the Arab countries and many different countries, America, came to support it. On the flotilla which followed, there was 40 different nationalities involved. And recently, I've just come back actually from another convoy, the same convoy that actually Ken was on. Again, different nationalities. We had Argentinians, America, New Zealanders. So yes, the more people that actually go to Gaza and see with their own eyes, and they carry this message home of what they saw, and they talk to people, and they spread the message amongst the people. This is a good way of raising awareness of what is actually going on, because the mainstream media, certainly in the West, doesn't carry the true picture to the people at all.
All right, Ken, now there are those that would say there are a couple of convoys that get through every now and then, but in how much of a difference does it really make? What would you answer to this concern of those who say that in the long run, it really doesn't make that much of a difference, a convoy every now and then getting through to Gaza?
Well, I'd say first off that that's simply not true. You need only come to Gaza yourself and ask the people how they feel about it. But the point is well taken. We have not solved the problem. And I don't believe that we have even begun to get close to our potential as people. I have to say, once again, I've only started to really share some of this plan, but we have a plan. I'm working with a great team of people to bring a ship, the largest ship yet, 1,000 passengers plus. We will have one representative from every single nation on this planet on that ship. And I repeat my request and my call for Hugo Chavez and many others to join us on that ship. I believe that that ship and the surrounding ships, which I hope we will join the proposed flotilla for this spring, I hope we all come together, and I have no doubt at all that if we conduct the plan as being that will be presented in the next month, that we will end the blockade. So all of these things are cumulative and they're important, but I don't believe we've come close to reaching our potential. When we do, we will end the blockade, and then we will go one step further, and together we will end the occupation.